welcome you to the live service of His Tabernacle Family Church right here, 16 Level Acres Drive. Man, we have a power-packed hour just for you. That's right, this is Palm Sunday. And man, next week we're going to celebrate Easter. We're going to ask that you come park all over the parking lot. Come park all over this premise. Man, let's just have a show for Easter like we have never had before. Today we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I want to introduce my beautiful wife, Rhonda. Say hello to Pastor Rhonda.
Hello. Welcome this morning. I know that this is different, but I'm going to encourage you in this next hour to set aside every distraction. We've come. You've tuned in. You've driven here. However you've done it, to set this time apart as holy to the Lord. So let's make the best experience and invite the presence of God right there in your homes or in your car or wherever you're watching from right now. Father God, yes. We love and adore you. We invite your presence wherever people have gathered this morning, wherever there's someone tuning in, just to be so real and tangible. Let them feel the power and love of your presence right where they are. And God, as we enter in this morning to praise and worship and the word, may it be pleasing to you this morning. Lord, we pray that the church would please your heart today, that our worship would please your heart as we go all out for you in the best way that we possibly can, Lord. Today, as we've entered in and set this time apart, we just want you to know that we love, and adore you. Father, we send your peace and your presence across the airwaves to every single person listening right now. And we thank you, God, that you are in control and that you are powerful and that you haven't changed, that you're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We lift you up, we exalt you, and we say that we love you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
From all over the country. In fact, we had people from literally all over the world this morning letting us know that they're watching. We want to give a shout out to all those on ENY, all those on Wolf 100.9, all those in our parking lot, all those on live stream, all those on YouTube, all those on our Facebook. We want you to know from His Tabernacle right here in Horseheads to His Tabernacle in Ithaca, His Tabernacle in Mansfield, His Tabernacle in New Brunswick, Canada, all the way down to Mexico. We want you to know we love you. We're praying for you. Let's worship God together. He's awesome, and he loves your life.
Come on, sing this out with us.
When I think of your goodness and your
giving me life, giving
thank you, Father God, for giving us life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Come on and say death.
And death could not hold you. The veil torn before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again.
See, you have
no rival.
Yeah.
We're so excited that you're watching us live. Man, I just, the presence of God, I believe, is anywhere that we are. And I'd love to pray right now. So, Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that, Lord, whether we're in a building or at our house, we're listening through the television or even in our cars, that, Father, you're right here and you're right now. I pray your peace would surpass all understanding. And that, Lord, we come to know you in a greater way, even today. And my name is Pastor Cody Spencer, and we're so thankful that you're watching today. We'd love to welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church in just a little bit different way today. And it's been amazing these last 2 weeks what God has been able to do and what we've been able to do as a church through the community. And we just like to extend an invitation to a couple things this week. Number one, we're still doing food giveaways. Last week, we were able to give away almost 12,000 pounds of food. And we want to do that again because we love our community. If you want more information on anything today, and it's specifically that, you can watch our social media on Facebook, His Tabernacle Family Church. Also, coming up on Good Friday, I know a lot of people are disappointed that we can't have our normal tradition, but we're renting a 35-foot inflatable screen that we're going to be putting in the side parking lot and airing a movie about Jesus. There's 115 spots, and if you're interested in that, you'd like to participate, we're giving Easter baskets away to the kids. You can go to histabernacle.com/Good Friday. We're really excited about those two events, and if you'd like more information about His Tabernacle, you can text His Tabernacle, one word, to 97000. But the most important announcement is right now, on Easter Sunday, we'll be here, or we'll be on TV, all the normal channels we've been using, but also more Easter eggs given out Sunday morning at 11 a.m. We'd love to invite your family to be a part of the Easter weekend as we celebrate the greatest moment of history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So look, this morning, we're thankful that you're here. If you could take a picture of wherever you're watching from, post it. We want to say we love you. We want to comment. We want to talk to you. But right now, I'd love to welcome you to join Pastor Spencer as he preaches from the parking lot. So even right now, go ahead and put your hands together for Pastor Spencer right in the parking lot.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Praise the Lord. We want to thank you so much for being with us. I don't know about you. I'm excited what God is doing right here at His Tabernacle Family Church. The parking lot is packed right now with cars on this side. And next week, we're asking you on Easter Sunday morning to make sure that you're going to be right here on scene. We're going to take every piece of grass, blade of grass, and cover it with a car filled with family so that they will know that God is good and Jesus has risen from the dead. Today I want to preach a message to you that I know is going to be pertinent to this time and this season at this moment. And this message is for you right now. Oh, that's right, you're hearing them park, man. Everybody's excited what God is doing. You know, even if you're not born again today, you know something is off. Even if you don't know Jesus, even if you're an atheist, you know something is not right. And I'm here to tell you today that we are at the very threshold of the end times. We're at the very threshold of Jesus coming. The Bible talks about the rapture of the church. And today that's what I want to talk to you about, is about Christ coming and taking His church away. Now, this is important because you and I are looking at church history. We're looking at what God is doing. We on? So I'm encouraging you to be listening to what God is going to say. Now, as you and I are getting ready to enter into the word of the Lord, I want you to hear, but not just hear with your ears. The Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And today I want you to know that there are many naysayers. There are many people that say they do not believe in the Bible. But I don't know how you can hear that, say that, think that, as we're literally watching history, biblical history, unfold in front of our eyes. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, 3 and 4, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. But I want you to look at right now where we are. I want you to look at church history where we are right now. I want you to look at biblical truth where we are right now. There is absolutely no way to make that statement and ever allow it to stick again. We have entered into a history, into a moment of time that the church world has talked about, that the world has read about, but now we are literally watching it unfold. The Bible makes a declaration in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of your coming, of the age, of the end of the age. And today I want you to know that I'm not one who's beckoning that everyone is going to die, that everyone, I'm not trying to stir up fear. But I want you to know that when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that this rapture principle that we're talking about, the Word of God that we're talking about, is not about fear, but literally, the Bible says, encourage one another with these words. I'm going to read the verse of Scripture found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, and it says this, for the Lord himself will ascend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds, to meet Jesus in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Right now, as we are sitting in a parking lot, we're sitting in a parking lot literally watching this unfold in front of our eyes. We're literally watching as prophecy is unfolding. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there's not one prophecy left to be fulfilled before the trumpet of God shall sound, before the rapture of the church shall come. There's no more prophecies. All we're watching right now is literally unfolding in front of us, literally unfolding in front of us, the preparation of the great tribulation period. That is a seven-year tribulation that will come upon this earth. And I want you to realize that even within the first four horsemen, you've all heard about them, the four horsemen, the white, the red, the black, and the pale. Just with the pale horse himself, 1.95 billion people will be killed on planet Earth. And I don't know about you, I'm not interested in being here in that time of history. Can I hear an amen? I'm interested in watching God come and take his people home as he has promised. You see, the rapture of the church is powerful. Jesus, as we see the Jesus being ascended on high in Acts chapter 1, as the disciples were staring up into the clouds, the Bible says that in verse 11, it said this, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from heaven, so will come in like manner as you saw him go to heaven. You see, today we're talking about the rapture of the church. There will be a shout from heaven. It will be Christ declaring his ultimate victory over death, hell, and the grave. It will be the declaration that it's time for his church to come home. As the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. I want you to realize that in this time of history, there is no more prophecy. The very next event prophetically to be uttered is this exact event that I'm talking about that can come before this service is over, that can come and your cars will be sitting empty. I pray, amen. I pray your cars will be sitting empty. I pray you will not be left behind. I pray you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I pray you're ready for the trumpet sound. I pray that your heart is right before God. I pray that you're living right before Jesus, because in the time of history that we're in, we don't have the luxury of playing church anymore. This trumpet that's going to sound is going to be heard. This trumpet that is going to be sound is going to unveil Christ coming in the sky the same way that he left. The Bible says that we'll be able to see. Can you imagine driving your car down the road and all of a sudden you're not there? You're on your way to heaven. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can you imagine you're on an airplane and half of the airplane disappears? Come on now. And maybe even the pilots disappear. That's going to be a traumatic situation. You know, we're dealing with this virus, this unseen enemy, as it's been called. And we look at this virus, this unseen enemy, and so many people are afraid of what cannot be seen. But as the church, we don't have to be afraid because we can see the greatness of our God. He is our great physician. And beyond that, we can see as things are being set up for this end time rapture of the church. The Bible says that a mother and father will be in their house with their child, and a baby with the age of innocence will disappear if they're not right with God. You've got to get right with Jesus. You've got to know God as your personal Savior. You've got to ask Jesus to be your Lord. This is not about religion. This is not about you being a good person. This is not about you being sincere. Even sincere people will be left behind. But when that trumpet sounds, it's only for those who are now called children of God, washed by the blood of Jesus. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him to the dead, you shall be saved. Jesus said, there's no other name under heaven which you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. I want you to hear me now. It's important. You've got to recognize that Jesus is coming. We don't have time to sit back and be lax as a church. We don't have time to sit back and be lax as people on the planet. Christ, the signs of the time are clear. Jesus is coming. We are literally living in the most exciting portion of history of the church. Many people don't realize how close we are. They don't realize how close we are. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the rapture will happen in a twinkling of an eye. 40th of a second. You won't have time to get right. You got to get right before that. Can I hear an amen? It's time for you and I to recognize that Jesus is coming. Shout it out loud. Jesus is coming. I know we're on a delay with our stuff, so you're going to start beeping here in just a second. So get ready. Matthew 24. I want to read some portions of Scripture because I believe that many people don't believe we're actually there. And I want to show you biblically. I want to show you through the Bible. I want you to hear the Word of God. This was prophesied back when Christ was on the planet. This is not new news. This is old news. It's just that the news is now hitting the papers. The Bible says in Matthew 24, 36 through 44, but of that day and hour, no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also is it will be of the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Watch then, for you do not know the hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken. They're catching up. Therefore also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. I want you to hear about the prophecies. It's right here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. These are the things. Now this is not telling when the rapture has happened, because no man shall know the time or the day. But we will know the signs and the season. We will know the season that we're in. The Bible says that you can look on the sky at night. Red sky at night is a sailor's delight. A red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. It's clear in the scripture that we can tell the signs and the time that we're in. And I want you to hear me as we show you scripturally how close we are to the coming of Christ. I'm sitting back and I'm watching as the church has been expelled from their buildings. I want you to hear me now. That is not even constitutional, and I'm not going to get into all that foolishness, but I want you to realize something that's happening. It's called globalism. The Bible says in the last 7 years, the seven-year great tribulation period, that there'll be a one-world government. That's not going to just happen. It's going to unfold, and the people are going to accept accepted. And I want you to realize that now what's happening across the globe is that fear is gripping people's lives. Fear is gripping people's souls. People are hiding away. It's time to recognize that you and I, we cannot hide in fear, but we've got to come to an awareness of where we are in the signs of the time. You know, as amazing as I was listening, even the other day to a very wealthy man, and I posted it on my personal Facebook so you can watch it yourself. He actually made a statement that schools are necessary, schools are essential, and it's good to send the kids back to schools. And you know what? It's worth the risk. But he's talking about, he actually brought up about mass gatherings like we have at church every single Sunday. Mass gatherings, he says, that might never happen again. I want you to know that it's going to happen again. I want you to know that church is alive and not dead, and that this virus will not keep the kingdom of God down. Can I hear an amen? There was another statement that was made that a chip has been made to be able to give everybody an inoculation and to validate your inoculation, then turn around and everybody will get chipped. You can't travel without the chip. I want you to hear me now. That is just a preparation. It is not the mark of the beast, 666. That will not happen until Revelation chapter 13, when the Antichrist takes over halfway through the Great Tribulation period. But I want you to hear me clearly that it's getting people ready for the acceptance of the things of the end times. People are accepting these things now. They're getting to be normal now. Why? Because of desensitization of the globalism and the plan. Now in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, it says this: for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. You know what I didn't realize is that word pestilence actually means, come on now, it actually means plague. It actually means plagues that lead to death. Can you imagine that right here in Matthew 24, he's actually describing what we're going through right now. He's actually showing that these things and events are occurring right now. In East Africa, pestilence is overcoming. Right now, there are plagues and millions of locusts devouring food, tens of millions of them, that people are going to step into a famine. The Bible says that famines will be part of the end times, that this is that preparation. According to the internet and according to the facts I was able to find, over the past 500 years, we've witnessed an increase of famines. The 15th century, 6 famines. 16th century, 10 famines. 17th century, 24 famines. 18th century, 28 famines. 19th century, 30 famines. 20th century, 44 famines. Now listen now, the first decade of the 21st century has already witnessed 12 famines, which puts us on a course of 120 famines. The Bible says that you'll know the end times when these things increase. And I want you to see that they have increased like they have never increased before. Famines have increased. Plagues have increased. Famines have increased. Pestilence has increased. I want the church to awaken, because it's time for us to recognize that we cannot be stuck up in our little buildings with our feet all set and the fanny and our in our chair, but we've got to have a resurrection. We've got to have a revival, and that is that the church is alive and not dead. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says that wars will increase. 15th century, 29 wars. 16th century, 59 wars. 17th century, 75 wars. 18th century, 69 wars. 19th century, get ready, 294 wars. 20th century, 278 wars. The first decade of the 21st century already witnessed 55 wars. That puts us on the course of 550 wars in this next century. Increase, 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 increase. How about earthquakes? Between 2004 and 14, 18 earthquakes with a magnitude of 8.0 rattled the subduction of zones that are around the globe. That's an increase of 265%. Now, this isn't something I'm making up. That's right there from the NBC News. I want you to hear me. The Bible says that Israel reborn as a nation in one day, and that was fulfilled May 14th, 1948, prophesied in Isaiah chapter 66, that the Jews would be scattered, but that God would gather them. That was fulfilled, Isaiah chapter 11. Israel, a wasteland, but God restores it, Ezekiel 36. The Hebrew language would return to Israel, fulfilled in these last 200 years, Zechariah 3:9. The apostasy and false teachings. Listen now, apostasy means a great leaving away. I want you to hear me now. There are many people, especially those who have had the great opportunity to be saved, that are not from the Jewish nation. We as Gentiles have been grafted in, and we do not have the luxury. We do not have the luxury of rejecting the Messiah. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You and I don't have the luxury of backsliding. We don't have the luxury of sitting back and walking away from God. Get right with Jesus and stay right with Jesus. Can I hear an amen? The Bible makes a declaration that people's character will be boastful, proud, pleasure seekers, scoffers. They'll scoff at the Bible. In the 60s, they got rid of prayer in school. In the 70s, they got rid of the Bible. And right now, we're looking at a generation that does not know God. They've not been in church. The Bible says that natural disasters, persecution, Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, the gospel will be preached throughout the world. Listen now, the Center of Study of Global Christianity in the United States estimates that 100,000 Christians now die every single year for their faith. It's time to recognize that this is not a joke. It's time to look at the signs of the time and see that Jesus is coming. I was shocked as I listened this week as the former UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown would like to see the G12 lead this charge in operation with the US Security Council while giving more resources and power to the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Do you know what they want to do? They said it's time for a one world government to take care of this situation. The UN has made a declaration that by 2030, that they expect to have a one-world government in order. And they already have and said that it's on track. Listen, church, we have a job to do. We're not on this earth just to sit around and have a few babies, make a few bucks, and build a few homes. But we are the ones who have the answer. His name is Jesus. Without Christ, people cannot go to heaven. Without Christ, listen now, religion will not get you there. I don't care what your religious tag is. I don't care how good of a person you are. Without Christ Jesus as your Savior, you cannot go to heaven. Amen. As I was talking earlier about the chip, it's called the quantum dot tattoo. That researchers at MIT and Rice University are working on as a way to hold vaccination records. It was last year in December that scientists with two universities revealed that they're working on the quantum dot tattoo after Bill Gates approached them about solving the problem of identifying those who have not been vaccinated. I want to remind you, when this mark of the beast does come out, if you're there, you're in hurting times. The first 3.5 years, 1.95 billion people will be killed. In the last 3.5 years, another quarter of the world's population will be destroyed. The Bible says there'll be a one-world government. The Antichrist will set himself up as God in the temple of God that will be established in the first 3.5 years. And then in that location, he will slaughter a pig on the altar of God and set himself up in the altar and declare, I am God. And that's when that one world government, that's when the Antichrist will start ruling. But hear me now, if you're in that spot already, you're in a hurting place because Jesus is coming. And that's going to, Christ's resurrection, I'm talking like you and I being raptured, is going to happen before the great tribulation period. But it's going to come in a blink of an eye. It's going to come so fast, you won't have time to get right. Get right, live right, serve God, and do your job. Can I hear an amen? Can you shout it out loud with me? Jesus is coming. Come on, beep your horns. Jesus is coming. It is so important. Whoop, that's all right. It is so important for us to recognize that Christ Jesus is coming. The signs of the time are clear. I've just read off some of them. I haven't even read off all of them. I haven't even shown you some of the things that are all set up for the first 3.5 years. Many people don't realize, but the Bible says that the Antichrist, the one riding on the white horse, is going to come down and he's going to bring peace to the Middle East. That the Jewish nation is again going to be able to resurrect or erect the third temple. Many people don't even realize the third temple is already prefabricated and ready to be resurrected. Many people don't recognize or understand that according to the scripture, you have to have the ashes of a pure red heifer to be able to sprinkle at that temple. And for all these years and decades and millennials, they have not found one, but now they have located that purebred red heifer. I want you to realize Jesus is coming. 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 Are you ready for his coming? Are you prepared for his coming? The Bible says that in these last days, that even the elect shall be deceived. That means those that are in church today will be part of what we call the great apostasy. The apostasy is powerful. What is that? What does that mean? That means that they have fallen away. We're watching entire denominations fall away from the Word of God. We're watching people that are still going to church that don't believe that God is still God. We're watching churches now ordaining and now taking God's Word and throwing it away. That is the apostasy. We're seeing it like never before. Many people don't even realize it. 9,000 churches across America are closing every single year. Why? Because people are walking away from God. People are walking away from their salvation. People are walking away from the Jesus that washed their sins away. We've got to know this. They're just catching up. We've got to know this, that if we are not paying attention to the gospel of Jesus, there are many people that once knew God that will not go to heaven. Can you imagine being in a sanctuary filled with people at church on a Sunday and the trumpet of God sounding and you're left behind? I've got a verse in scripture that should scare the living hell out of every single one of us. And I literally mean that. The Bible says in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, that if you are left behind, a great delusion is going to come upon those who are left behind. I'm talking even those who once knew Christ. You know, when I was a child, I used to say this all the time. Well, you know, I'm going to live any way I want. And when I get into the great tribulation period, then I'll get my head cut off. Because the Bible says, if you do not take the mark of the beast, that they're going to execute you. And I said, well, you know what? It doesn't matter to me. I'll go into the great tribulation period. I'll get right with God. And I'll go to heaven. But let me tell you, if you can't serve God now, how will you ever serve God when it's going to cost you your life? Ooh, that got quiet. 2 Thessalonians 2 says it's great delusion. That means that everybody who once had the opportunity to be saved, everybody who's sat in church like this, who's watched online like this, and you've laughed and you've mocked and you've walked away from Christ Jesus, that in those days of the great tribulation, you will not have another opportunity to be saved. Which means you will reject Christ all the way till you're thrown into the lake of fire. This is not about fear. I remember one time my child, I was cooking something on the stove. And as I was cooking on the stove, I saw him running for the stove and he was going to put his hands up and grab the pot. And I told him to stop and he didn't listen. And I snatched him and I put on a little love on his hind end to help him understand that that was unacceptable. Oh, but you were being mean. Oh, you're being a bad dad. You corrected your son. Man, you woke up your kid. I'm telling you right now. I saved that kid from burns all over his hands. I saved that child from being wounded. I saved that child from getting scalding water on him. Sometimes we've got to be awoken. Sometimes we've got to be shaken. Sometimes we've got to be shocked. Sometimes the truth that will make you free has to be resounded again in your life. It's time for the church to stop playing games. It's time for those who don't know Christ. Listen now, you know it's off. You know something's wrong. It's time for you to wake up. My wife and I were not sent to this region to build a church in the middle of a cornfield. God sent us up to Horseheads, New York. I'm not from here. I'm from the Boston region. I was sent here because God said, I've got something for you to do. In 1998, he told me, start a church and tell them that I love them. Tell them that I love them and that I'm there for them. My wife and I are not here in the middle of the cornfield just so that you and I can sit back and say, wow, we built a church. I'm not here to build a church. I'm here to build the kingdom of God. I'm here to get you out of your sin and get you saved. I'm here for you to hear the word and the word to make you free. I know I'm losing my voice a little bit because it's weird. You got to know what I'm going through up here. Let me share with you. You ready? As I'm preaching, it's minutes, almost a minute, until they hear it out in their cars. There is no sound system out here, so I feel like I got to shout. But I want to shout anyways, because my God is good. Can I hear an amen? I don't know where you are. Maybe you grew up with a religious tag on your life. People have said to me, you know, Pastor, well, you know, I'm not from your religion. I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm an Episcopalian. I don't care where you're from. There are none of those tags in heaven. The Bible says if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not going to heaven. Oh, but Pastor, there are many ways to heaven. That's not what Jesus says. That's not what his word declared. His word said there's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved. It is the name of Jesus Christ. Today, as you're watching live on WNY, today as you're listening live on Wolf 100.9, today as you're watching live stream, I need you to hear my heart. I need you to hear the heart of this church. If this was about religion, do you really think I would be in the north? I would be somewhere down south in the Bible Belt. This is about you and I. We have a job to do. God loves this region. God loves you and your family. God adores, and he sent his son to die just for you. This is not about religion. This is about you and I knowing Christ. It's about you and I being in relationship with him. You will not be able to lay upon your past. You've got to lay upon your future. And that is that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And it could be today. Are you ready? If the trumpet of God shall sound, will you be raptured or will you be left behind? Will you see Jesus face to face or will you go through the great tribulation period? Will you be thrown into the lake of fire or will you serve God on this planet? I'm telling you this. God spoke this to me the other day. He said so many people are afraid of an unseen enemy called a virus, but they're not even afraid of the unseen, invisible God who is living and seated at the right hand. It's time to recognize it's more powerful to fear God who can take your life and cast you into the lake of fire than to fear a virus that can make you sick and maybe put you into eternity. If you know Jesus, there is no fear. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? You've got to know Christ as your Savior. Today, the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And here's the gospel, that Jesus Christ came. He came as a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross, and he's coming back soon. And the question is this: are you washed? Are you forgiven? Are you living for Jesus? Or are you not? Somebody said to me, how can a good God send anybody to hell? God sends nobody to hell. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. For all who have sinned, and they've all fall short of the glory of God. But I want you to hear me. All have sinned. I don't care who you are watching television. You can have millions of dollars in the bank, or you could be waiting for your check to come in the mail. Sin is sin, and sin separates us from God. Jesus came to wash your sins away. Somebody's got to pay for that sin. For God is holy, and sin cannot be in the presence of a holy God. So if you have sinned, we have all sinned. If you have sinned and you have not asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior, then you have made a decision. I choose to pay for my own sin. Jesus doesn't want you to pay for your sin. He paid it for you. Today I want to pray with you. Today I want to lead you to a relationship with Jesus. Church won't get you to heaven. A preacher won't get you to heaven. Religion won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus will get you to heaven. Today, I'm not preaching church membership. We don't even have a membership at this church. But I'm preaching Jesus to you. Today, if you would like to receive Christ as your Savior, I want you to bow your head and I want you to pray right out loud with me. Those that are in the cars, pray right out loud with me. Jesus, I thank you that you died for me on the cross. I thank you that you love me even in the condition that I'm in. I am a sinner. I need you to forgive me. I want to be with you forever. I don't want to go to the lake of fire, but I want to serve you more than anything else. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Wash my sins away. I'm not going to live for the devil. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for you. So in the name of Jesus, I receive you, and I'm never going back to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I want you to do something for me. I want you to get your phone out, get your email out. If you gave your heart to Jesus, I want you to email me at histab@histabernacle.com, H-I-S-T-A-B @histabernacle.com, or go to our website, grab the email from there. But if you have your phone with you, I want you to do this for me. Type in "I am saved" and send it to 97000. One more time, type in your, send me a text, "I am saved," 97000. We have a Bible for you. We don't want you just to start this. We want you to finish this race. Can I hear an amen? So today, I want you to know that we love you, that you're important to us. We'd love to have you here next week in the grass, in the parking lot, to rejoice the resurrection of Christ with us. But right now, your life is more important than anything else. No God, receive Christ and be saved. Don't be left behind. Jesus has paid the price just for you. We're going to have the worship team usher us into the presence of the Lord. Make sure you text me, "I am saved," at 97000. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday morning right here on WENY at 11 a.m. But I'd love to have you right here on the premise, on the parking lot, right here on God's house. We love you. We'll see you in just a little bit.
He's given me life.
Hey, family, we're entering into the time of praise and worship with our tithes and offerings. So this week, be prepared to give in our new way of giving online. Maybe you've never done that before. You can text to give to 84321, your dollar sign and the amount that you want to give, or go on to histabernacle.com, the giving button. Of course, you could also mail in your giving to P.O. Box 189, Horseheads, New York 14845. But giving is a part of what we do here as the church according to the word of God. It says in Malachi 3:10 to bring all the tithe into the storehouse, and then I will open up the windows of heaven. And it says he'll rebuke the devourer on